Champion players, champion club. Melbourne wins another one.
Yes, it is! Elise Perry brings up her 200 in style.
Oh, Sam Kerr!
For all your sports news, reviews, and interviews, you listen to the Sports Desk here on Sin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today, you have Liam and Caleb in the studio.
Fantastic morning.
And no Ben again. I think I must have done some of the P-Ben off. He's not here again. He wasn't here Monday, not here today. Ben's a very important man. I heard he's in a meeting. Probably getting us to, you know, SEN or something.
Yeah, probably something very important.
Yeah, 3AW.
We're just saying, as we were listening to that intro, geez, it's exciting listening to those commentary calls. But for anyone that was listening to the Super Bowl, might have found it was a little bit not as exciting. So Australian commentators are doing it right. They're actually exciting.
American is BT. Imagine that last touchdown. Oh, it's a touchdown. Boy, oh boy.
Wowee. Except, no, it sounded pretty boring. I can't remember who the commentator was, but Jared Waitley called it, and a lot of people were saying that his commentary was a little bit more exciting than that of the Americans on Monday. Today we are talking all things sport. We're talking AFL. We're going to talk about cricket a little bit later on.
As well as we're going to wrap up the Super Bowl and some basketball for you.
A bit of basketball as well, which will be great. But to kick off, we are going to start with the AFL and some interesting news
coming out. Life member Jack Graham has signed a contract.
Imagine playing five games.
For the life member.
Mm. It's very interesting. Jack Graham, for those that don't know, played in the Richmond Premiership team last year, but had only played five games for Richmond heading into the grand final. And Richmond have decided to award all of their Premiership players life memberships. And this led to a few people to come out and say that maybe it's not so fair on those that have given, let's say, 15 years service to the club and haven't reached that 200-game milestone or whatever it is to become a life member.
See, I don't know if it's Richmond, but I know there's a club. I think it's 150 games for a life membership, but then if you win a flag, I think it's 100.
Right, that makes sense.
Something like that.
I don't know. Do you think it's a good call to appoint life members?
At the time, I thought, yeah, you know, it's an awesome call. But then, thinking about it for a bit, I'm not a big fan. Because one, Jack Graham, someone who I've actually said could be a potential future captain of Richmond, considering he captained the South Australian side and he did phenomenal in the grand final.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he played really well.
When he moved to Sloan, kicked three snags. Mm-hmm. Has a 100% winning record, by the way.
Yeah.
Five wins out of five games. So someone who I think will play the 150 games, but it will kind of now diminish his 150. That's your life member game.
Yeah.
And it will kind of just, you know, after you play your 150th that season, you get rewarded for your life membership. Kind of takes it away a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got it after five games.
True. I don't know. I don't think that there will be too many players that's their end goal. I think AFL, they're in the business of winning premierships, and I think that'll be their motivation. So I don't mind this move by Richmond to appoint, like, you know, they've said, this is what we're here to do, and you've done that, so we're going to appoint you a life membership.
Mm. Well, Brian Lakey said he wouldn't accept a life membership at Hawthorn. He said. Yeah, he said he went through the grinds with the Doggies,
mm-hmm.
and he's a life member of the Bulldogs. So, you know, he did the hard yards. He played 10 years or so with the Doggies. He only played three with Hawthorn. Granted, he won three flags in 3 years.
Yeah, like, he timed it well.
Not too bad. But, yeah, he said he wouldn't accept. He's not a big fan. But he might become, maybe then, you know, you get a lot when you're a premiership player anyway. You get this 10-year reunion. I know Collingwood catches up every year.
Yeah.
They always post it on social media. They always catch up, which I think is fantastic.
Oh, absolutely.
So you always get a lot as a premiership player, but I don't know, maybe like a special life membership?
Yeah. Even the one you were saying before, like if you win a premiership, maybe the life membership games that you need to play is lessened. Mm-hmm. So maybe if it was at 150, it comes down to 100 or 50 games. I think it makes a little bit more sense because who's to say Jack Graham, while he may be a future captain for the club, who's to say in 2 years' time he's playing VFL or he might, who knows, play at a different club.
Well, a good example is probably Jacob Townsend, the one who, he even said halfway through the season he was looking up carpentry jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he wasn't playing for Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
Comes in, same game, fair enough, same game against Fremantle where they smashed Freo by 103 points. Lovely game.
Liam is a avid Freo fan, so you can hear the sarcasm in his voice there. That's why.
And he ended up playing a great final series, played a good grand final.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone who, one of the now I think three Richmond players out of contract.
Mm-hmm.
You got Basha Hooley, Sean Grigg, I think Nathan Broad, and Jacob Townsend, all out of contract.
Yeah, right.
So a lot of Richmond, yeah, it's an interesting one. I think some of them might take off. Like I said, they should make it like a special thing separate from the life membership. Like it's like a premiership life membership, and you got your life membership.
Yep.
So,
I wonder what do you know what a life membership actually grants you? Does it just mean that you are allowed to show up to all club functions?
Sure, yeah, I'm pretty sure you're just allowed to walk in.
Yeah, makes sense.
Go to every game.
Yeah.
I think an AFL life membership's 200 games, I think.
Yes. That rings a bell for some reason.
But, you know, with Richmond, I think if you're going to reward, that's the word, reward, all the 2017 premiership players with life membership, maybe all the other, I know a lot of them have probably passed away considering like the 1920s, but everyone...
Because it's been so long since they last won their last flag.
Yeah. Like, you know... Imagine if the Doggies hand out life memberships, there'd be only like five players there.
Exactly.
Premiership players.
We wouldn't have too many.
No.
Look, in all honesty, if I was to put myself in Richmond's shoes, because I'm a Western Bulldogs fan, I have no problem at all with them rewarding AFL memberships to them. What I went through in 2016, I think all 22 players on that field will go down. Even Jake Stringer, for example, who's left on a bit of a sour note, will still be remembered as a Western Bulldogs premiership player. I would be more than happy for him to be awarded.
You know who won't be remembered as the Western Bulldogs premiership player?
Who?
Bob Murphy.
You had to pull that one onto me, Liam. I'm sure it'll be a life member regardless.
I love joking Western supporters about Joe Watson's like a Brownlow, and I love joking Bulldogs supporters about Bob Murphy's like a premiership.
Play on. If I wasn't a Western Bulldogs supporter, I'd probably be doing the same. Next one, we're talking about the AFL shelling out. It was reported in the Australian Financial Review. They reported that the AFL forked out just a cheeky $24 million to help prop up Gold Coast Suns.
Oh, that laying in the back, you know.
Yeah, probably found it in Gillon McLachlan's couch or something like that.
Pretty much.
They forked that out because Gold Coast didn't actually have a major sponsor or a major co-sponsor.
Yeah, they didn't
have
a second, like an away jumper sponsor.
Yeah, so $24 million to help prop them up. And it's a lot of money. And if the AFL is going to keep calling for, whenever they defend the fact that they won't prop up a team in Tasmania, they usually cite the fact that it's not financially viable. Do we think that the fact that they're shelling out $24 million for the Gold Coast, that this excuse is now invalid?
It's a really tough one considering Gold Coast is still a new team.
Mm.
Like, they've just built their training facilities. They've had to work around the fact that they're playing the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah.
Example, this year they're not playing a home game until around 10 or 11.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're playing a game up in Cairns, they're playing a home game in Brisbane, plus a home game in Perth.
Yeah.
You know, all those
and
loyal...
Shanghai as well, I think there's one, yeah.
All those loyal Perth Gold Coast supporters. So it's a weird one.
If you say that they're a new team, what makes the difference? How do you think GWS went about it differently? Or why are we seeing more success at GWS?
I would have a total rant how I think Gary Ablett was an absolute cancer to the Gold Coast.
Really?
Both from Gary Ablett's point of view and Gold Coast's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
But... I think GWS thing was the fact that they had success early on. Granted, I think maybe their window might be shutting in.
But I don't think that success came from nowhere. You can't discount the fact that they had more drafts as well. Mm. I think they had two or three where they were they had higher draft picks.
Well, Gold
Coast
finished last in 2011, so their first season, but they didn't get a number of, like,
that's right, yeah.
Because GWS, well, same with West Coast in 2010 when they finished last, they didn't get one because of Gold Coast.
Correct.
It's really tough for Gold Coast, but I think it's an example of they've just had messed up management, messed up the players, you know, losing Garcia, O'Meara, Dixon.
Big time.
Ablett has all hurt them. Drafting players, I think, to go for a quick premiership.
Yep.
Where the GWS plan for the long haul. That's why they've got players like Chad Corns, Brogan, Power.
And I completely agree with you in that it felt like Gold Coast went, we want to get one big fish and we want to recruit Gary Ablett.
Yep.
And then it felt like GWS instead looked at, let's get Phil Davis, who was an up-and-coming player. Let's get Callum Ward, who's a future captain. Mm. Both of those. So that they almost like they shared their marquee money and put it into these players that were more prospects. And they've reaped the benefits. Gary Ablett while he was a fantastic player for the Gold Coast Suns, has left the club and hasn't brought them any success.
Yeah, pretty much. I just think, you know, we look back as a terrible decision.
Yep.
I did say yesterday to you and our producer Ben,
mm.
Gold Coast's main thing in 2018 isn't to play finals, because we will pretty much know with their draw, it's extremely unlikely to happen.
Correct, yep.
They're probably not going to win many games.
Mm-hmm.
But remember last year, they did defeat Geelong and they defeated Hawthorne twice.
Yeah.
But then they also played absolute stinkers against like Port Adelaide.
Mm-hmm.
And there was GWS where they lost by 102 points.
That Port Adelaide game was, they didn't score for like the first half or something like terrible. That. It was terrible. Yeah, mm. Wasn't good for footy.
So you had last year, you had the good and the bad of the Gold Coast. Problem is the bad really, you know, stood out than the good.
It was glaringly bad, yeah. Mm. So interesting to see what will happen there. Obviously, you can't look past the fact that the Gold Coast seems to be the graveyard of sports, as we're talking about yes. off air. Hasn't had a whole lot of success.
Never won a flag. No premiership has ever gone to the Gold Coast.
So really their main goal for this year, sign Tom Lynch, have some success. And hopefully under the new coach, Stuart Dew, they can find some success.
Big Dewey, everything he touches turned to gold.
Yeah,
played for
exactly.
Port, won a flag. Played for Hawks, won a flag.
Spot on.
Was it Sydney when they won their 2012 flag?
Mm-hmm.
Everything he touches turns to gold. They've got a good list. You look at Gold Coast, they've got pure talent on their list.
That's it. Last year, they were smashed by injuries. And
they have been smashed by injuries ever since, even all during Ronnie Eade's run. I mean, I think he was a terrible choice as a coach.
Mm.
Like, you don't get a coach from the 90s in a today age game.
Yeah, spot on.
Like, he struggled to take the Doggies to the next level. I know he took Sydney to the 96 grand final, sorry. But he really struggled. He struggled to get the Doggies.
Yeah, he took us to those prelims, and then we just sort of we didn't improve from there. We just kept getting.
Well,
you
stay the
same
way every other club. I think that's what Geelong might also be risking as well. Staying the same way, clubs are getting better.
Complacency, yeah.
Yeah, and with the Suns, it's just very difficult. It's gonna be interesting how this year goes, and maybe North Queensland could be an option if they struggle. I know they're playing in Cairns this year, and I think next year they're playing a game in Cairns and Townsville.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know the Dogs are trying to tap into that market. We sell one of our home games there every year, and we just finished I'm a player. They just finished their preseason game.
You're rocking the Doggies jersey Sunday.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, going to ask you for a signature or something. I was like, hey, who's this guy?
Classic. In other news, we have the phone ring in the studio, which is
That's weird. I'm just going to... Can I hang up?
Maybe we'll go to a song. We'll go to a song and we'll...
That's okay. Yeah, we'll go to a song. This is Rex Hunch, Kenny, Loving Is Easy.
Little language warning on this song.
Yes.
And we'll find out. That was Rex Orange County with their song Loving Is Easy. That was selected by me this morning. Just loved it so much. We'll give you a little last little blast. Update on the phone. They hung up, so we didn't really need to jump.
They wanted a large pizza extra topping.
To stay on AFL, in the AFLX, big opening day yesterday, they were... It was like the promo day and there were some crazy shots going on.
There was a silver ball. There was silver ball. Super goals. It was beautiful.
Crazy. But you found an interesting tweet in relation to... We were just talking about propping up a team in Tasmania, the prospect.
Oh, yeah. We had like a full segment going on before the phone interrupted us.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about how Gold Coast, Tassie's always a non... You know, they're always a... Oh, yeah, we'll get to it, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, but what about Tassie? It's coming.
Yeah.
10 years later.
Forgotten brother.
Oh, you know, there's Tasmania. Yeah, I'll get to it. It's like that show you'll never watch that your friend wants you to watch.
Spot on, exactly.
It's like, oh, I'm going to watch it
I'm
eventually.
I'm getting around to it, yeah.
Yeah. So as you know, yesterday, people might know, the Bernie Dockers, mm-hmm. One of the most successful clubs in the Tasmanian Football League, has now left the league only a couple of weeks after Devonport.
Wow.
So two of the four biggest towns in Tasmania
mm-hmm.
have no teams, and you got five teams in the Hobart region, I think, and a couple in the Launceston.
Just for context, like Burnie and Devonport would be the equivalent of a Geelong and Bendigo not having teams, or Geelong and like they're huge. They're like two of the biggest towns in Tasmania,
pretty much,
which is enormous and almost flips what we were just saying about Tasmania. But then, more interestingly, is the perspective of where's all this money that the AFL are pouring their money into? So we just revealed that, well, we didn't reveal it, but the AFL is shelling out $24 million to Gold Coast. Yep. And AFL is also shelling in Lord knows how much money into the AFLX.
And granted, you know, probably other clubs. I know Carlton every now and then have to get a lot of money. They've not struggled as Gold Coast is. But if you remember a few years ago, I know Doggies have always been in debt. Melbourne's been in and out of debt. Richmond only a few years ago were in debt. North Melbourne.
Brisbane Lions, they've been propped up by the AFL for ages.
Sydney's always as well. Another team that's always seemed to struggle, even though they're in Sydney. So what happens with Gold Coast isn't new, but it's not a good look for a new club. That's probably why it's much bigger news than it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Not having a sponsor does hurt. They have a sponsor this year. They do have a secondary sponsor.
Yep.
So I doubt $25 million will be given their way.
That's true,
this year. But yeah, this tweet was by Damian Peck. You know, imagine how big his pecs are. I love football, but it's a kick in the pants. When you see a successful TESL club like Burnley die on the same day AFLX is launched with silver balls, circus acts, 10-point super goals, excess dollars being poured into new markets instead of struggling heartlands, which is true considering we've seen countless VFL teams die, mostly with the introduction of the Reserve League.
Yep.
I think Frankston died and came back to life and died again. Brother, that's now out.
Really? Oh, of course they are, yeah.
Which kind of sucks, considering they got that new stadium, the Mars Stadium.
Mars Stadium.
Bendigo left, once the Bombers left, they turned to Bendigo Gold.
Yeah, no they success. Left.
So many VFL teams are also leaving. But an interesting stat I have here, another reason why, for Tasmania, 3,000 men in the last 5 years, that's the loss in the Northwest, so the Northwest region of Tasmania, they've lost 3,000 men. That's a big drop of players.
Of players. Oh, wow. Okay.
But might also be the fact that, there is no, you know, if you're Mitch Robertson from Brisbane and you're homesick, you have nowhere to go. Same with, I think Freo has three players.
Yeah.
You have nowhere to go.
Well, then, without clubs like Devonport and Burnie, where are these juniors going to learn, you know? Like, Tasmania has traditionally been such a strong, they had Matthew Richardson, for example.
Grant Birchall.
An amazing array of talented footballers have come from Tasmania.
I know it was a big controversy on the footy show for years, but Gary Lyons also.
Really?
From Devonport. There was a big thing on the footy show because even on his IMDb page, it's Southern Victoria. No, but he's a Tassie boy.
Yeah. Well, just the fact that if these juniors don't have senior players from a young age to help them guide them and play junior footy and obviously when they're 15, 16, play in those senior leagues, it's going to really stunt the growth in Tasmania.
That's what I've got here as well. In 2016, there was no Tasmanians picked up.
Mm-hmm.
This year, there was only one, which was Freo picked up Hugh Dixon.
Wow, only
but
one.
But in saying that, Freo originally selected Connor Borland, but Brisbane matched the bid because he's from the Brisbane Academy. So Freo didn't originally want to pick up Dixon.
Yeah, it was just so purely for him.
He was, their plan B. Maybe he would have been picked up later in the draft, but... So one in 2 years have been picked up, and the ones who got picked up in the 2015 draft, none of them has made a real impact either.
Yeah, right.
So and that's also a big issue with Tasmania. That's probably why having two teams, the focus on Queensland with Gold Coast, is working. Might be working.
I mean, I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, I haven't checked this, but Kolodziejczyk from...
Both Kolodziejczyk,
From Tasmania, and Cade Kolodziejczyk is playing for Gold Coast. So
Jake's playing for...
Geelong.
Yeah.
Maybe we could see a... Tasmanian Suns, even though there's not a whole lot of sun in Tasmania, and Kolodziejczyk would be leading the charge.
There's one team who I think should be a certain to go. I know Jeff Kennett has probably always hinted that he wouldn't mind Hawthorn moving to... but then also, you know, every time Clarkson breathes, he's like, oh, you're going to get sacked soon, mate.
yeah, exactly.
You know, or Clarkson's just won a premiership. Oh, he's walking on thin ground here. He might get sacked. I don't know what he has against Clarko, but...
He's like the shock jock of AFL presidents.
But with North Melbourne, I think the likeliest... Mm. I think it'd be easier to do the Sydney route. I'll say that... Because I think, example, they started a new team up in Brisbane and that failed. That's why Fitzroy had to come up and merge.
Yep.
Sydney Swans was a beautiful... I don't know why they went to that. South Melbourne should went straight to Tassie, to be honest, back in 82. So people listening back in 1982, seriously, like, get a grip.
I don't know. I just think, like, as much as... I think it's brought up every year, but I just don't really see anything happening. I think North Melbourne, while they're unsuccessful at the moment, they've done the right thing. They've drafted young. I think in a few years' time, they'll be pushing back up the ladder.
I just think there's too many teams in Melbourne, and you've got the weaker clubs, like the Bulldogs, St Kilda, and North Melbourne. Whoa.
When was the last time Freo won a premiership?
Wait, we're in a two-team state, that's why. I'm talking about the Doggies. Doggies are if a perfectly Ballarat, I think, is a perfect place for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, right.
Like I said, there's too many teams in the Melbourne area, so not including Geelong.
Yeah.
There's only a few teams I think will have to stay in Melbourne. That's Collingwood and Melbourne. Are the two teams that have to stay.
Okay.
Apart from that, everyone other team should be vulnerable.
You can't, like Richmond. You can't get rid of Richmond. You can't, with these clubs with such
long... I'm not getting rid of any of these teams, but I think, yeah, North Melbourne should think about maybe even playing half their...
Yeah.
I think usually it's 11 games, so maybe 6 home games in Tassie.
Yeah, wow.
5 in Melbourne. And give it, you know, proper more football for Tassie. Mm-hmm. Kind of like what the Giants are doing with Canberra. Like,
true.
GWS is pretty much a two-state team.
Yeah, you're right.
Like I've even said, I wouldn't be surprised if they play a final in Canberra 1 year.
Yep.
Well,
wouldn't that be a sight to see? It'd almost be worse than that Spotless Stadium semi-final.
I love that, though. 13,000 against West Coast and playing in front of 95,000. Mm-hmm. And you got member stats. You can't look at, you can't see.
It's terrible.
You look at, someone in 2050 will look at that and be like, oh, well, not a bad turnout for the Giants. 95,000 MCG.
Yes. Then,
yeah.
Probably, what, 2% would have been Giants fans?
Yes. Now let's cross genders now.
Let's get into our dresses. We're going to talk about AFL women. There was one incident that stuck out over the weekend in terms of MRP, and that was Darcy getting 2 weeks for kicking someone in the groin. It wasn't a pretty sight.
And we disagree on this. I'm going to say my
argument is, go for it.
I honestly believe her kick is as bad as Barry Hall's punch.
Wow.
Where she kicked, the fact it was a deliberate kick, the fact that she double kicked, so she didn't hit a target the first time, so she went back for seconds.
Wow.
I think maybe I was a bit harsh saying she should get the entire season. You did a good point saying 2 weeks is equivalent to 6 weeks.
Yes.
But maybe 3 or 4 weeks.
Yep.
Like, I think the suspension is too little. I know she's going to miss 2 weeks and she'll only play 4. She only has 4 more games left to play. But
yep.
Oh, no, it just was not a good look whatsoever.
No, it looked like a... For me, I was there at the game and obviously it looked really, really bad. It looked like one of those reactionary things and it almost felt like it was her trying to kick loose the tackle or whatever. But obviously not a great look. But my reaction was 2 weeks is spot on. I think 2 weeks... In the grand scheme of the season, the AFL women's season is a lot shorter. What is there, 7 games?
Yeah.
And then 1 final. So 2 weeks in the equivalent of the men would probably be about 5 or 6 weeks. And if that had happened in the men's, and like we compare it to Basha Hooley's hit last year.
Yeah.
Well,
she didn't know the Prime Minister, so that's probably why.
Sorry, yeah, didn't have a glowing reference from Waleed Ali.
Yeah.
But that's how I saw it. I saw, you know what? If it was 2 weeks in the men's, you'd be like, well, hang on. If it was a 22-round season, you'd be like, 2 weeks is nothing. But 2 weeks in a 7-week season, I think, is pretty accurate. And she'll obviously learn from her mistakes. Before we wrap up the AFL women... Oh, sorry, yeah.
So there is a new topic we just want to quickly discuss on. This is pre-show. We just read in the paper today that AFL wants Carlton to start going a bit more.
This is
how silly is that?
Weird, weird, weird article reported in the Herald Sun today about... the Blues playing too defensive, and Gillon McLachlan's not happy.
It's just so stupid, isn't it?
It's bizarre. So Gillon McLachlan has asked Carlton to, hang on, I'll find the quote. Gillon McLachlan spoke to representatives of several clubs on Monday and has hammered home the AFL's desire for open footy, which is bizarre because he can't really do that. If Carlton are going to win games, they're going to play the best formula
that
wins.
If it's not broke, don't fix it. If Carlton can win a flag, I don't... Well, maybe because I'm a first supporter, Ross Lyons for the last few years.
Yeah, exactly.
He'll probably like to win, zero goals, 1.1 to 0.00.
Yeah.
But if it works and they win, do it.
I agree.
Sport's not meant to look... I know as much as people say sport's meant to look pretty, it's meant to... You're meant to win.
That's it.
If you win ugly, you still win.
Spot on. Before we wrap up the AFL segment... I will just give out my AFL women's votes for the week. This is something that we've been doing across all 3 shows, so Monday, Wednesday and Friday for the round. So on Friday morning, the hosts will give their votes. My first three went to Katie Brennan. I thought she looked exceptional in the forward line. She was kicking goals from about 45 metres out and just clunking huge marks and showed real leadership. Chloe Malloy got the 2 votes for me in her first game and is actually the rising star this week. Along with GWS player, and I've forgotten her name. But yeah, she took 20 possessions and held Darcy Vesio to maybe like less than 10 kicks or something like that.
Yeah, I pointed out actually on the Monday Sports yesterday, this is the first time in AFLW history where Darcy Vestio is not the leading goal kicker.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I know it's not a big stat, but the fact that it was a 7-week season last year plus finals, she was all the entire time. And now, yeah, she's...
Amazing.
Yeah. She's been dethroned.
Yeah, and then my final vote was a toss-up between Taylor Harris and Sabrina Frederick-Traub. I gave it to Sabrina Frederick-Traub purely because Brisbane got the win. I know Carlton also got the win, but massive win by Brisbane over the reigning premiers. So had to give it to Frederick-Traub.
One day, you know, Brisbane probably, you know, AFLW 4, Brisbane still has only lost like 3 games and they'll still not give them credit.
Yeah, exactly.
Brisbane has not lost a regular season game in the history.
It's crazy, and they always get it. It's these late wins, and I just think of all the preseason write-ups, no one has given them the respect that they deserve,
yeah.
That they are probably the best team and unfortunately lost the grand final last year.
And very close to grand final that was. I'm going to head to a song, and we're going to discuss cricket after this. This is Further Than Planes Fly by...
I don't know how to pronounce his name. I'm going to try Yves Karidis. Yves Karidis,
yes,
yeah.
On Sin, 90.7.
That was Further Than the Planes Fly by Yves Karidis. You're on Sports Desk with Liam and Caleb, and we're going to jump into some cricket chat right now. First question straight off the bat is, was the Big Bash season too long? Liam, discuss.
Well, it was the first season under, what, the 10-game? I think it was the 10-game season.
Yes, I couldn't confirm that, but that sounds about right.
Yes. I knew there was an extra 2 games. I think it was just about right, but there's so much cricket going on with the Ashes and the One Dayers and... There's just so much cricket to watch. You've got to watch the Big Bash every day, and then you have that day break for the...
Correct.
The One Dayers. I wouldn't say it's too long.
Would you say the cricket season in overall, including internationals, was a bit overwhelming? Like, I feel like I'm at the stage now where probably won't watch the international T20 on Saturday night. Like, I'm not dying to watch it.
I completely forgot it was even on.
Yeah, I'm but almost like, just show me footy. I want to watch footy because I've watched too much cricket.
I'm not a big fan of international T20. That's actually one of the questions we want to talk about. But I think it was fine. I think you should keep internationals and, you know, domestic. Maybe, I don't know what you're saying, maybe start earlier.
Okay.
And finish earlier. So maybe start... just after the football season ends, but then you've got international players and international duties.
There is a bit of a gap there, and the cricket, the women's cricket has really tapped in on that. So there was the women's Ashes, and it was pretty clever. Like, I think it was an intentional move in that there wasn't any cricket going on, and everyone watched the women's cricket because it was like, well, there's no other cricket to watch here.
Well, it's like, I know... If we talk about the AFLW season, like when should it be? Definitely shouldn't be after the footy because we're all football fatigue. We're like, grand final's over. We're all up and about. Richmond supporters will be talking about it for the next 1,000 years.
Yeah, exactly. Unless you're the premiers, you're not fatigued. You're just watching the replay of the grand final over and over again.
So I'm guessing the 2016 DVD is still stuck in your DVD player. It's just
It just has cemented place in that.
You can probably quote it word by word.
Yeah. Well, what do you think I'm doing this arvo?
But I think maybe earlier and maybe
longer or
no, the same length. So the length's perfect.
Yep. But I think it offers enough in that I remember in previous years it felt like this season if you lost your first couple of games you were done. There was no way you could make the finals. Whereas this year it offered a bit in that, for example,
Hobart lost their first 2 games, won the next 5,
yep.
Lost their last 3, and then made the finals.
Correct. Yeah. So it offers enough redemption, and that's what you want. You don't want to be a fan, and the Big Bash don't want this as well, if you lose your first couple of games and then dwindling fans, no one's interested, unless you're Perth.
Well, yeah. Well, you got teams like both secondary, even though there's 2 teams in both states, but you know the secondary, the Renegades and the Thunder.
Like the Little Brothers.
Yeah, maybe, the game in Geelong was a huge success. I don't know why they're playing at Etihad Stadium.
Relocate, Renegades?
Yeah, definitely relocate to Geelong.
Agreed.
Like, I think Geelong begging for like a second soccer team. I don't know why this Melbourne City should be Geelong. If I was NRL tapping the Geelong market, maybe, hey, I've just moved to Geelong. Maybe, wink, wink, that's why. But.
Hey, maybe you can manage them. Or you can be the GM of the club.
The Thunder should move maybe to Newcastle or something like that.
Okay, yeah, somewhere but Central Coast.
I just don't think they're fatigued. It's not too long. I just think there's too much cricket.
Yeah.
I
agree 100%.
Did you even watch the T20 International?
No, I was one of those ones where I didn't realise it was on and turned on the TV at night and I was like, okay, Australia are playing a T20, you know? If it wasn't so fatiguing and so much, probably would have shown a lot more interest in it.
I still remember last year when I think we spoke about it last Wednesday when Australia played Sri Lanka, I think, in a T20, and then the next day we played India in the Test.
Yes.
And all the stars aren't there. You don't see, you know, I think the last, I don't think Dave Warner will probably play in the last T20 game because
probably
we're starting our Tri-Nation with New Zealand, I think, the next day, something like that.
Yep.
Is
the Tri-Nation now? So the Tri-Nation,
Tri-Nation will be one day.
One day? Yeah. Oh, okay, right. So that'll be before the South African tour.
I just think there's too much cricket going on at the moment. That's probably why. And you always forget about the Sheffield Shield.
Yeah. Which, like, we've got it written down here, but the Sheffield Shield is unfortunately just a little bit irrelevant at the moment with so much cricket going on. No one can pay much attention.
Like I remember I was talking about Renshaw to someone about how I think he should have stayed in the Australian team because I love the way he bats.
Mm.
I just love the old fashioned, you know, take 200 runs, 200 balls to score 10 runs.
It's uncommon. It's especially very uncommon nowadays.
A 20-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what 20-year-old plays old? He goes, oh, look, ball six.
That's it. Well, the traditional pathway now is if you're young, you'll come up through Big Bash, you'll learn how to bat quickly, and then if you're like
the Darcy Short, the David Warner blueprint.
Correct. Which is similar to, sorry to jump in, but Darcy Short has announced that he wants to, you know, potentially play Test cricket one day with the David Warner blueprint.
Yeah, could work, could not work. It's always hard to tell with cricketers.
I know.
We just sat here last week talking about how Lynn has thrown both one days and Test the way to focus on 2020s. So maybe it's good to see players want to play all three.
Yeah.
Players can play one.
I hope Darcy Short has some success with the Tests, but I also like the idea of having players that are T20 players and players that are Test players.
Yeah, especially for a country who's had lack of success in T20s. We've never won a World Cup, never made a World Cup final. I think we did. I think we lost to England a few years ago. And we're hosting the T20 World Cup in a few years. So having a proper, kind of reminds me of China. China has a proper, they have Olympic schools.
Right, that's so what we
schools
need.
For Olympians.
T20 schools.
Yeah, just T20 just in that little corner.
That's
everyone
what
just
I like
T20s.
Our government money to go towards. Yeah. Don't worry about hospitals and don't worry about roads.
Yeah.
Let's just put it towards
T20.
These schools that are focused on T20s.
Yes.
Don't worry about maths and English either. Let's worry about reverse sweeps from the first block. Second block's... Yeah.
Absolute bounces. And
slower
stuff.
Balls. Yeah. that's something we could get behind.
But yeah, the domestic... I think it started to decline ever since actually... It's talking about T20s. Ever since... The T20 left the domestic teams and went to the league. Because I know they used to have their own little... It wasn't as popular, but yeah, all the state teams play 2020 comp. But no one really watches it. Like,
no.
I think you don't even have to pay to get in. I think it's free. So I'm assuming vendors and that probably don't work. They might have one food vendor at the front. But you hear of all the teams that you see them play. As a player, you're probably excited to play for Victoria, but no one really comes and watches it.
Mm.
I know the cricket game on PlayStation kind of does it injustice, playing as Victoria. You have a sold-out crowd at the MCG while you're playing, you know, South Australia. You're like, that doesn't happen. People don't go watch South Australia. God.
Yes, correct.
It's a weird, weird thing.
So 2018-19 season, the cricket season, what do you think would improve it? Do you reckon less one-day internationals maybe after the tests, more focused on the T20s?
I think you should kind of do it separately. Have your test series, maybe even do the one days before.
Mm-hmm.
So you, because I know we did the last year we did the weird South Africa tour.
Yeah,
where we got absolutely belted.
Yeah, and like just axed half of our team and then started afresh.
And then we did, I think we played Pakistan, but I think we should do the five tests. You know, the Brisbane, Adelaide, Perth, Melbourne, Sydney. Before that, we do the one days. So you play your game in Hobart, you play your game MCG in probably Sydney.
Yep.
Maybe even just three. Cut it down to three.
Yeah. I much prefer a tri series or even four match series. Five matches for me was way too long for the ODIs.
Mm-hmm.
For me, 2018-19, less ODIs, more international T20s. And I think I do support the idea of Big Bash teams. While I love it, I think that the international players need to be taken out of there and represent their country.
Yes. The last thing about the Big Bash, maybe breaks between games.
Yeah.
There's so many times you're like, oh, cool, you know, just say, I go for the Renegades. So the Renegades play, like, sweet. you know, you don't keep up with the fixtures, and then you know they played like 2 days ago. You're like, oh, I didn't know they played.
Yeah, yeah. It's you can forget that there's a game every single
maybe,
night.
Maybe every second day.
Yeah.
But it just takes so much. I know my fiance hated it. She's not a big cricket fan, so I'm there watching the T20 today. She's like, is there something else on?
Yeah.
No, the remote's broken. It's fixed on Channel 10. Anyways, we're going to go to a song with the Mr. Jungle Man himself, Shannon Noll, with Lift here on Sin 90.7. This is the Sport Desk. That was Lift by Shannon Noll. It's okay, Shannon. We didn't rob you like Australian Idol did. Here on Sport Desk on 90.7.
That song will forever be associated with the Biggest Loser.
Let's talk about the Biggest Loser, actually, with Cleveland.
Great segue.
Thank you. Cleveland have struggled. I know they're third.
They're in a shambles at the moment, aren't they?
It's not like they're struggling bad. I think it's much more hype than it is. They're third in the East. Granted, the East isn't that good. Their best team isn't the best team, really.
Granted, yeah, valid.
But, you know, I did say, I know I had a nice little rant about how Cleveland fans being entitled pricks.
Right.
And booing LeBron James. Because if it wasn't for him coming back after leaving for Miami, that would be exactly where the Cleveland Browns are.
Yep.
But
I feel like, so they've come off a loss against the Houston Rockets. Houston Rockets are sitting in the top in the West.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure. And
second,
to Golden State. And it would have been Sunday morning, Saturday night in the States. But Cavs lost 120-88, which
is absolutely belted.
It's not a close game. No. 32 points.
They've lost a few big ones as well. They lost a few 30-plus point games.
Yep. LeBron James was really, really quiet. Only 11 points and 3 from 10 from the field, which a lot of people are saying that this is the LeBron that they've never seen before. This is crazy.
But LeBron is 35. That's a, I know.
35?
Yeah.
Okay,
pretty sure he's 35. I might double check that quickly, but.
Well, that's crazily old.
It's 33.
But still, like, very old. We were talking about it off air. He is almost certain to leave at the end of this season.
Yeah, it's a given. Mm. Some of the clubs that have been thrown up around is LA Lakers, Philadelphia. Yeah.
Philadelphia would be an interesting one. You could see him maybe mentoring Ben Simmons a little bit, even though he doesn't need it because he's a gun.
He absolutely robbed off the All-Stars.
Yeah.
He's the Australian, he's the Shannon Noll
of the NBA.
There
you go.
But
it's but very interesting.
One of the teams is, Golden State, which is unlikely.
Mm.
Even though
he did come out and say mid-season, if they could find cap space for him, that he would go. So I said mid-season, midweek, that he would go to Golden State if they could find cap space.
But they would not be able to find cap space.
No. And could you imagine how many fans, NBA fans...
I was turned off last year when they did the trilogy.
Yeah. Got Kevin Durant.
When you have 30 teams in a league, you can't have the same two teams play off 3 years in a row. It's just not... It's not a good look for the league. NBA, even though the original Golden State, so the team that defeated Cleveland the first time, was built from the ground up.
Correct.
Where... Now in the NBA, the same with it's turned into soccer, same as the soccer or the football. Now teams are created. Mm. Something hopefully doesn't happen in the AFL.
Yep.
But now you just get all these good players together. So I think winning a championship is now more important than winning a championship with your team.
Correct.
You just want to get that ring, get
but
that trophy.
But I still feel like there is an element of that in the NBA. It hasn't worked for Cleveland that much. Like, yes, they won a championship, but as you said, that was from the ground up. Worked for Golden State, but a lot of their players, so let's see, like Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, they were drafted by Golden State. So they're the sort of cornerstones of the club.
But like I said, the Golden State was the one that did. Now, the original they were built from the ground up, now they're with Kevin Durant and that, they're probably more now a manufacturer of good team.
Was Draymond Green, was he originally from Golden State?
If he wasn't, I know he came, good at Golden State.
Yeah. The only thing I'll say there is that then the Spurs are another club that have been successful for so long, and they've built their players, their clubs up for a long time and have been focused around a team mantra.
Well, pretty much every LeBron James championship team, even Miami, was a manufactured team. I think they were the first probably manufactured
Super team. Yeah.
And it just takes it away. It takes away everything, really. It's just not as good to watch.
Correct.
As it, you hate seeing those teams play on the field or... the ground.
It's frustrating.
Shout out to my little brother there.
Nice. For anyone that didn't know then, Liam on Monday called a basketball court, basketball field.
Yes.
And copped it from his little brother. So there's a little shout out. What's your brother's name?
Declan.
Declan. Declan, if you're listening. Basketball court is very right. We're going to predict a few mid-season-ish awards. Yes. MVP, have you got?
I think James Harden's got it in the bag. It'll be really Harden to beat.
Yep. Agree with you 100% there. Rookie of the year, probably a toss-up between Donovan Mitchell and Australia's next Shannon Knoll.
Oh, he better not get the screw. For that one as well.
Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons is an absolute shoo-in, I think.
Yeah, clear leader. And Sixth Man of the Year is an interesting one. I've seen a lot of people saying Lou Williams for the LA Clippers.
Yeah.
And that's our predictions.
Hard to talk with that. I'm going to go to another quick song, and we're going to talk about wrap up the Super Bowl. So we're back to the Sport Desk and seeing 90.7. And we're going to talk about the Super Bowl that happened on Monday or Sunday in American time. And you had the Philadelphia Eagles get over the New England Patriots 41-33.
Keep going.
That's good. Just wanted to get that done.
That was awesome.
Super Bowl New England Patriots.
And I turned on all mics but yours. It was me time. I took the spotlight just then.
No, that was good. Fair enough. I think that's just the universe telling you to keep going. That I do not need to jump in there. Did you watch the Super Bowl on Monday?
I watched the last quarter. I got home in time to watch the last quarter. Yep. I remember walking through Melbourne Central. I knew a team scored.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, yeah! I was like, oh, yep, the team scored.
Fair enough.
Go that team. It was the Eagles that scored, by the way.
Every year, I feel like there's always parallels drawn between the Super Bowl and the AFL Grand Final. Do you think there's anything we can learn?
We're not changing it to nighttime. Yes. AFL Grand Final stays daytime.
Thank you, thank you.
Please, that conversation is over. No one have that conversation. Shut up, Dangerfield. It's not happening.
Thank you. I agree 100%. I don't think we need to follow that at all. I don't think there's any reason why we need to go nighttime.
Like, as much as I like the Super Bowl, it's pretty much the only NFL game I watch, really.
Mm-hmm.
The game has taken a backseat to the ads and entertainment.
Big time. Even it's like you're watching ads and then there's Super Bowl in between.
Even though this is one that was one of the best, they say, one of the best Super Bowls ever.
Mm-hmm. High scoring. And
I 100% agree that last year's one wasn't the best considering the Falcons dominated pretty much all the game apart from the last quarter.
Overtime and last quarter, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, and that's why I think the AFL Grand Final should be focused. It's always focused on the footy.
Yes.
Even though in attendance, yeah, most corporate, but it's very wonderful. You have that entertainment at the start of the game. I like the thing at the end of the game.
Yeah, I think last year they nailed the entertainment. I'm a big Killers fan, and I think the Killers catered for a lot of audiences. They were really, really good.
You can't go past Meatloaf, though. He was all...
So, do we think Justin Timberlake's performance at the Super Bowl was as good, if not better, than Meatloaf's?
No.
It's a big call.
Meatloaf is up there.
Yeah, and then way down below is the Killers, and then below them, Justin Timberlake.
Pretty much. But I just don't think I get the flashiness of the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And you know, it's a big thing. I like my sport. I go to see sports to watch sport.
Correct. Not for the ads.
Like the Super Bowl went from 10 a.m. and I think finished around 3:30.
Mm-hmm.
And I know NFL games are usually long, but it should have been done a bit quicker than that.
Yeah. We've actually run out of time here. We still had a little bit to talk about, but we've just got caught in our own minds and talked for the sake of talking. But yeah, this has been the Sports Desk with Liam and Caleb on Wednesday. Make sure you tune in on Friday as well, because they're going to be previewing big week of AFL Women's and all sports for the weekend coming up. Yeah, this is Sports Desk. Stick around.
I'll see you 9.7.